Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is the Robin Lindbergh Show coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Let's take one more call on the Carly Lloyd kicking the NFL situation before I get to the aspect of Carmelo Anthony being blackballed by the NBA. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's the quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on car insurance. How about Sam in Huntsville, Alabama? Sam, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Sam?
Hey, man. I just wanted to touch base on this, the Carly Lloyd kicking. So I'm an Auburn grad, was down there for years through the 2010 run and stuff. I saw Cody Parkey in warmups kicking field goals from 75 yards with nobody running on him, getting a head start like that. Watch J.K. Scott for Alabama, a punter, kick 60-yarders in warmups. I mean, a 55-yarder for those guys, it's really not a long shot when they've got time to step back, think about it, look at it. And then also, when you asked about kickers getting hit and stuff, I immediately thought about Pat McAfee, who saved numerous touchdowns by putting his neck out there, hitting people on kickoffs. And then I thought about the time that Sean Taylor just absolutely destroyed that punter in the Pro Bowl game. Thought the guy was never going to get up. But I appreciate letting me get in, and I want to see what you got to say about it.
To the second part, again, I think that's the big concern. It's rare enough where there may be a workaround, again, just running off the field. Whether the kicker decides to get in on the action is the kicker's individual choice. As far as kicking the field goals themselves, that would be whether she could or not. I don't know for sure. I do believe if you have the leg strength to kick a 55-yarder, even with a little bit of a run-up, with specificity training, maybe she would be good enough. I mean, even if, let's say she didn't have a 60-yard leg. Most NFL kickers aren't hitting 60-yard field goals, right, in game. If you're super accurate from 50 and below, there's a role for you. I would think, but that all depends on how good you are. And that would be the ultimate decision maker. No one's saying she should get a roster spot without being better than the other kickers. The 32 best kickers in the world should be the ones on NFL teams, period. Whoever's the 32 best people at kicking field goals, which is actually a decent transition to Carmelo Anthony's lack of a spot in the NBA. Is Carmelo Anthony still one of the 450 best basketball players in the world? Individually? Maybe. Probably. You know, are there people in the NBA who are on rosters where if you told me one-on-one they were going up against Carmelo, would I pick them over Carmelo? No. I'd still pick Carmelo over some of those guys. But the notion that Carmelo Anthony is being blackballed, I kind of find to be ridiculous. Why would he be being blackballed? For what reason? That's what I don't... Could he have a reputation in the league? Sure, that's not the same as being blackballed. You take, I think, some meaning of away from the term blackballed if you're applying it to Carmelo. You know, there are people who are being wronged for righteous reasons. Carmelo Anthony is not one of them. Carmelo Anthony's not in the league because he no longer has a role in the league. Who was it? Royce White that was talking this week? Brought up Jared Dudley. Jared Dudley's in the league because he's a role player. Carmelo Anthony doesn't have... What is Carmelo Anthony's role in the NBA right now? You know, Melo, I think, if he years ago decided he was going to be a spot-up shooter who locked in defensively, and Carmelo was actually good at guarding bigger guys, so if he wanted to play the four and was a spot-up shooter on offense and, you know, banged on defense and focused on that end, he'd still be in the league now. if he had made that transition 3 or 4 years ago. You know, Vince Carter is kind of the prime example of a player who went from a star to a role player and made the transition seamlessly and with grace. Carmelo has gone more the Allen Iverson route. And, you know, in many ways, he was sort of a bigger version of Iverson, even in play style. And it was difficult for him, just even the notion of not being the man. Remember, he scoffed at the idea of coming off the bench. Now, I'm not saying he wouldn't be willing to do that now. I'm sure maybe he's been humbled to a certain degree. I mean, he basically went on TV begging for a job. But I think the one thing Carmelo still lacks is a little bit of self-awareness about this situation, in that he talks about it like it's something that happened to him, not something that happened in part because of him. Because this didn't happen to Carmelo Anthony. It happened in part because of Carmelo Anthony. Like, even in his prime, the knock against Melo was he was out for his. And Chauncey Billups gave that a lot of validation. You know, Carmelo had his most success at the NBA level playing next to Chauncey Billups, Western Conference Finals, Denver Nuggets. When Chauncey said that Melo would, you know, his mood would be dictated by his point total, whether, you know, they won the game and he scored not so much, he'd be upset. They lost the game, he scored a lot, he'd be picking guys up. Now, I'm not questioning the guy's professionalism or his ability at that time, but there is not a need for ball-stopping high-volume scorers who are liabilities on the defensive end when they're past their peak. And Carmelo is past his peak physically. He's just not the same player. And therefore, you have to make an adjustment and find a role, find a niche. And that he hasn't done that. Maybe he's willing to do that now, but he still hasn't found it. What is it? What you know, describe to me what his role looks like. You know, Jared Dudley, I know what his role is. He's going to play hard on defense, make smart rotations and communicate well, and hit a few open shots. Be a good locker room guy. That's his role. No one's expecting him to play more than 15, 20 minutes a night. Could Carmelo beat him one-on-one? Obviously. Does Carmelo fit more seamlessly into a basketball team? No. You could add Jared Dudley to every basketball team in the NBA, and he'd fit on the roster, every single one. Role player versus not having a role. And Melo's had some shots. It's not like he hasn't had opportunities. He got one in Oklahoma City. I think they were minus 13.2 points per 100 possessions with him on the floor in the playoffs. His year there. He had a cup of coffee in Houston. It's not really fair to use numbers to judge, but here they are for you. He was minus 10 points per 100 possessions on the floor, period, in his short time with the Rockets before they realized that experiment was going to work. They took a flyer on him. So he's had some opportunities. And I just don't understand the notion of him being blackballed. For what? What is the reason? Why? Why would the league conspire to keep him out? That's what blackballed means, like, you know, the agreement to keep him out. Why? We know why it's applied to, say, Colin Kaepernick. Why would it be applied to Carmelo Anthony? Doesn't make any sense. And it's also, by the way, not that odd for a player, even a guy like Melo, a former star, a surefire Hall of Famer. He's a surefire Hall of Famer. Even a guy like him, not that odd to find a player like that out of the league or on their way out of the league after 16 seasons. Just look at his peers. I was in the building, same building as Carmelo, when he was watching Dwayne Wade play his final game. Same draft class. Dwayne Wade's out of the league. He maybe had a more graceful end, but he's out of the league. He's no longer an NBA player. Chris Paul was there too. That's another banana boat buddy. Came into the league, what, a year later? Chris Paul how is Chris Paul viewed right now? As an elite player or more as a contract albatross? More as a contract albatross. And then the other banana boat guy is LeBron James, and he's a mutant. He doesn't count. You know, because we've never seen anything like him. So he doesn't really count. If you look at his other peers, Wade's out of the league. Chris Paul is severely diminished. And Carmelo is out of the league. So it's not that strange that after 16 seasons, a player would be out of the league. Or on their way out of the league. And in Carmelo's case, it's explicable that it happened the way it did because there's just not a natural role for him, his style of play in the league, and he didn't make the adjustment when he should have. Now, could he still make the adjustment? Sure, it's possible if he gets another shot. It's possible. I'd prefer if his career didn't end that way. I do feel for him. But I also think he needs to be aware that, you know, the circumstances are the way they are in large part because of him. But he's certainly not being blackballed. That just doesn't make sense. I just don't get the why there. What would be the motivation for the NBA to keep him out of the league? It doesn't, you know, on its surface, the premise doesn't work. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. Going to talk some more NFL, of course, coming up. Eric Edholm, Yahoo Sports NFL writer, as the NFL season is approaching, believe it or not. It is the Robin Lundberg Show. What you know about that here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
Pop culture. What's going on in pop culture? Does the Popeye's chicken sandwich count? I had that. Actually, I had it 2 days in a row. My son made me go back last night. He asked, when we had it the first day, he asked if we could have it for dinner every day. And then I went back last night to get the Popeye's chicken sandwich, and we all had it. It's quite delicious. I'm not going to front. It's quite delicious. And then Spider-Man. Maybe we'll get to Spider-Man a little bit later. But I think of all the... We're always searching for things to bring the country together. Chicken sandwiches and Spider-Man have brought the country together because everybody feels the same way, it feels like, about Spider-Man. But I'll table the Spider-Man conversation to get back to the NFL. Eric Edholm, Yahoo Sports NFL writer, joining the show right now. And Eric, let me start with the topic I began with, and that's the preseason. Now, it's easy to drum up a topic on sports talk radio about getting rid of the preseason, but it does feel more and more pointless, and it feels more and more like the coaches and the players feel that way, like that wave is building, whether it's, you know, Beckham not playing or Le'Veon not playing or Carson Wentz not playing or the Colts deciding to change from having their starters go to not play. Have you felt that more, you know, viscerally this year, that NFL teams are viewing the preseason as more of a nuisance than a necessary thing?
Yeah, I mean, you hear quotes from, you know, Bears coach Matt Nagy saying, you know, I don't care about the preseason. And, you know, you see the Packers kind of do, you know, get a little the wheelies up in Winnipeg, you know. I understand, look, the field conditions are bad up there, whatever. You have, obviously, people being very cautious with their quarterbacks like Wentz and Luck. And, you know, Luck probably couldn't go if it was even a regular season game right now, but the point stands. And, you know, you do see this wave. And I guess the fascinating down-the-road question is, what's going to happen to those games? Because the NFL isn't going to get rid of them. I mean, they have too much revenue tied up in season ticket packages and, you know, there's a reason why these games exist in the first place, and it really has less to do with football, I think, and more to do with revenue. So, yeah, I guess the question is, you know, is there a way to turn joint practices into a more regular thing? Are we going to get more regular season games? Is there going to be some other adjustment to the schedule? Yeah, that's all on the table. with the new CBA kind of down the horizon a little bit.
Yeah, I brought up the joint practice thing too. I think that could be something that spawned off into more. Now, one of the reasons it became a talking point is the Cam Newton injury. And regardless of that specific injury, and regardless of whether he should have been playing in the preseason or not, I'm starting to get worried a little bit about Cam Newton and whether we've seen the best of him, because I think he's such a dynamic player. Whatever you think about him, he's such a dynamic player. I could argue over the last however many years, he's had more impact on wins and losses than any other individual player, because it seems like the Panthers' fortunes are directly tied into his health. Are you concerned that he's just starting to break down, you know, from the years of his playing style?
Yeah, anytime a player gets two relatively concerning injuries in a short period of time and two different ones, you know, then we start kind of stepping back a little bit, like we did with Locke, you know, when we first heard about the calf and obviously the shoulder before that. And, you know, I started asking ourselves, you know, is the shelf life on some of these physically impressive quarterbacks who often are left exposed to hits or who choose to run a little bit more than other players in the league, you know, should we be worried here? Especially when there are a couple of unrelated things that happen. I mean, obviously, if you have the same recurring injury over and over, that's no less serious, but you know, when you have multiple body parts breaking down, it makes you almost think of like Donovan McNabb, where, you know, they used to highlight pregame, like, oh, he had his shoulder done, his knee done, look at all this, and he's still playing, and then all of a sudden he kind of falls off a cliff career-wise. So, Yeah, that concern's real. And yet, I think if he's good to go, I still think Cam and the Panthers are going to have a really big season this year. I don't know what his shelf life is 3, 4, or 5 years down the road.
Robin Lundberg talking to Eric Edholm, Yahoo Sports NFL writer. Now, there have been some sagas this NFL offseason. I think three really big sagas. So I'm going to touch on each of those individually. One is the Ezekiel Elliott contract. I'm going to call it a negotiation now because it felt like more a dispute to me. But that latest report that they had the offer somewhere between Todd Gurley and Le'Veon Bell makes me believe that it's going to get done. I don't think the difference in those two salaries is going to have him sit out the season or something like that. Before, it felt like it was real hardball. Is that the vibe you get, that we're now headed towards a solution with that?
I think we're close. And if I just had to throw a number out there, I would say within 24 to 48 hours we could hear something. Maybe it's a little longer than that, but I've gotten the sense in the last 48 hours, and my colleague Charles Robinson has really been dialed in on the situation for months now, and he's done a great job of kind of chronicling both sides. Where's Elliott's head at? Where's his camp thinking? And then also what the Cowboys' view of it is as well. So leaning a lot on what he's reported so far, yeah, I feel pretty good about that. In fact, there's some optimism, too, that maybe Dak gets done at some point. It's been so quiet on the Dak front. You know, Amari Cooper's been injured. We haven't really seen him lately. Dax has gone out there a couple times and looked really good in the preseason, and training camp reports have been pretty strong on him. You know, obviously Zeke doing his thing, but I wouldn't be stunning to see both of those deals get done, which I wouldn't have necessarily predicted that was the order they happened in, but you never know with these things. So I think Elliott may end up happening pretty soon if all this optimism comes to roost.
Another saga, of course, has been Antonio Brown and his helmet and everything else. What exactly is going on there? Do you think, you know, this is a case of a guy who we really cannot be surprised by anything that happens? Or do you think this is a case of him being really passionate on one thing? Or is it a case of him trying to avoid, you know, training camp as much as possible? What's going on? Or do you have any idea?
I think the answer to all those questions is yes. How long is this segment? Let's see how we can parse this thing out. But, yeah, I mean, I'll say it this way. Trying to get in the head of Antonio Brown is a pretty tricky thing, it seems. And, you know, it seems like he's sort of different guys on different days, and his mood swings have been kind of chronicled and by other people. And, you know, that's the toughest part is when you get a guy who works as hard as he does. You know, I remember talking to somebody with the Steelers a couple of years back who said, you know, Antonio Brown does everything to the fullest. And that's not always a good thing, but it, you know, it's made him into the player he is now. So I guess that's the question mark you have is once the games start mattering, and let's say the Raiders start out and get a little positive momentum early in the season, let's say they win a couple games, let's say we see the potential of a Brown-led offense, he might be all in. He might be dialed in and ready to go and flashing that Pro Bowl form, kind of that, let's stick it to the Steelers for being so dumb for trading me kind of mode. But right now, it feels like, gosh, is this guy absent? Is he selfish? Is he just trying to skip preseason or, you know, camp and preseason games, like you said? It could be a combination of things, and that's the dangerous part if you're the Raiders, because you really can't pin it on any one thing. You try to fix the helmet thing, something else could crop up. You know, it's like trying to, you know, plug thumbs into the dams. You know, a new hole breaks open every day, it seems like. So that's the real issue right now.
And then the final saga was one I bet we, you know, you didn't see coming necessarily before it happened, but that was the reaction to the deal the NFL did with Jay-Z. And, of course, Brian Flores has had his own little, you know, separate spinoff issue with that down in Miami. I think, you know, there was this initial blowback. And to me, I always thought maybe the NFL doesn't have the benefit of the doubt in some of these things, but Jay-Z does, given what he's already gone out there and done. And it doesn't seem like an issue where there needs to be sides pitted against one another. And I think wait and see is the appropriate approach. But have you heard anything from people within the NFL, either players or in management, about what the overall takeaway of that deal is and will be?
Yeah, it's really hard to say, obviously, because right now we're talking about, you know, 2,000 players in the league. Some of those players will be continuing on with their team. Some won't. You know, you have club officials, you have NFL employees, you have, you know, all these different people with different opinions. So
sure.
I guess if I had to take an overall temperature, it's a little bit of sort of, huh, you know, a little confusion, a little bit of surprise, a little bit of, you know, ambivalence to the whole thing. Like, maybe there's a positive side to it, but as you pointed out, the NFL has, in the past, done things that, you know, they're trying to maybe needle their opponents. In this case, maybe it's the players' union, or maybe it's the players themselves. Or, you know, it could be any number of things. So you're right. I think we have to think about it in terms of what has the NFL's playbook been in the past? Have they been instigators in some situations? Absolutely. Do they think that this is one of those sort of double-edged swords where, you know, not only will it get under sort of the Kaepernick folks' skin a little bit, but also have a positive effect, and thus you really can't argue with it too much? That ultimately may be what happens. You know, maybe this does lead to really good positive developments in terms of, you know, philanthropy and helping, you know, sort of build the image of both the league and the players a little bit. And then they can go back and say, oh, this wasn't anything personal. This is something that we try to listen to your message and deliver on.
You know what I think it was, Eric? To be honest, what I think it was, you know, whatever you think of each individual owner, they all have one shared thing in common, the pursuit of the bottom line, right? And I think they saw the way the winds were blowing with the positive response that Nike got from the Kaepernick ad and the negative brushback Stephen Ross got with his fundraiser. And they realized they had a PR makeover they needed to do with a segment of their audience. So they brought Jay in to do that. They needed him for that. He's taking the heat for it. And ultimately, it comes down to what he does with the platform. That's my read on it.
Yeah, and then you lined it up perfectly in there to say he's taking the heat for it. Another way for the owners to kind of deflect the heat off themselves, right? And so, you know, everybody knows Jay-Z will bounce back, right? Nobody's worried about his, you know, long-term reputation with this in mind, I don't think. This is a kind of a one-week story right now, perhaps. So, yeah, I think it's just another way for you know, the shield to kind of put up a shield of sorts, if that makes sense.
No, it definitely makes sense. Eric, really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm looking at the TV. The NBA TV, I guess, right now has an old dunk contest on, and Kobe Bryant is participating. Happy birthday to Kobe Bryant. Yesterday was his birthday. He got Dwight Howard on the Lakers as a birthday present. You know, that's one of those stories. Well, I'm betting I'm getting that in another one, so I'll save that for when that gets thrown to me in just a second. First, I'll go to Steve in Charleston, South Carolina. Steve, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Steve?
Lundberg. Hey, first of all, it was great hearing your voice on Mad Dog Radio this past week.
I appreciate it, man. What do you got today?
First of all, how's Butters doing?
Butters is, you know what? Butters is not, Butters is doing well in general. She has like she keeps peeing on the carpet, and I don't know how to make her stop. And that it's starting to drive me crazy. But
You may have to change the food, vegetarian food.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Why would it be vegetarian food? Why would that do it?
we don't need to go over the whole science of it, Lundberg. Just try it out. It'll work.
All right.
So I just wanted to, like, touch on our Carmelo Anthony, which you can't spell Melo or Carmelo without the letters M-E. And, like, to me, he's kind of like the, like, I've always thought of him as the Death Star, and as a Knicks fan, like, when Jeremy Lin came on and we had that whole Lin Sanity thing, it was so exciting. He was just like sour grapes, you know. It just, he seemed like he was jealous of the whole thing. And maybe Carmelo's like this super great guy, you know, in person, but I just don't think he's, like, good for a team. I don't know. What's your feeling?
Oh, no, I mean, I think there's definitely, I know there's truth in what you're saying about the Lin Sanity thing. I know that for a fact. But as far as since then, I think he did do some maturing after that point, but I don't know if he ever became completely self-aware of his place in the NBA. And so I don't think it's as much of, like, at that point it was whether or not, you know, his style was conducive to winning, even though he was a great player, and how good that was for the vibe of the team. Now I think it's more about, because his skills have declined, you know, due to age, and he never made the adjustment, he just doesn't have a natural fit and role in the league, because no one's thinking they're going to bring him in to be the Carmelo Anthony of old. I just don't think they know what they're getting and where they put him if they do bring him in, if that makes sense.
I'm sure he's still a really excellent player, and as a big body, he can take up space, and he can definitely rebound, so he's done that in the past, but just personality-wise, I don't know if I'd want my younger players around him as a role model.
Well, you know, I don't know Carmelo that well. Plenty of people have vouched for him as a good dude. As far as his reputation, though, that's part of, like, that's the difference between being blackballed and word getting around, though, right? Like, blackball would be that there's, like, a pact. We're not bringing this guy in for some reason. If the word is around about him, or he has a reputation, all of us have a reputation of some sort. And that, you know, determines whether we get jobs, whether we get invited places and the like. That's not the same as someone being blackballed from a job. And I just reject the premise that he's being blackballed, because I don't get why that would be the case. You know, if you're saying he's being blackballed from the NBA, why is he being blackballed from the NBA? Craig in Lansing, Michigan. Craig, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Craig?
Hey, good morning. You know, I just wanted to say about Carmelo, you know, great players don't get blackballed. I mean, it's like when Michael Vick came back to the league. When you can run a 4-2 40 and throw the ball 70 yards, you get another job. When you're Kaepernick, he's not so great that they can't turn their back on him. And that's the same thing with Carmelo.
But there is a difference there. I do think Kaepernick was blackballed from the NFL in the sense that it was agreed upon that nobody was going to sign him.
No, I mean, I know he was blackballed. I absolutely know that. And I'm a Niner fan, too, so I know that. But the thing I'm saying is if he was as good as Michael Vick was, that wouldn't have happened. But he's just not good enough to eclipse the negativity that surrounded him as far as the owners were concerned. He just wasn't good enough. Same thing with Carmelo Anthony. He doesn't have enough skill left to where they think, man, I can't replace him, because they can, and they have.
Yes, but I just wouldn't put him in the same boat as Kaepernick, because with Kaepernick, there's the whole other issue that's going on that obviously has been a talking point across the country for 3 years running now. Carmelo Anthony, he might have a reputation, but there's nothing that's keeping teams from signing him. There's nothing he's done. And I don't want to make it seem like Kaepernick did anything negative either. I don't believe that. But there's nothing that he's done that would be the reason where even the owners would think that they weren't signing him. All right, time to get to every topic I have not as of yet in another one. All right, Anthony, what's up first?
All right, Robin, well, you teased it. Dwight Howard joined the Lakers. So what kind of impact do you expect Howard to have on the Lakers? And how would you describe Howard's career? Do you believe he's a Hall of Famer?
He's a Hall of Famer, I think. He was a superstar. You know, there was a time period where Dwight Howard was one of the two or three best players in basketball, you know, top or MVP candidate. Let's put it that way. He went to the NBA Finals as the best player on a team. He was a dominant force. I think three things happened. I think one, he got injured. His back got hurt and he lost some of his, you know, explosive physical nature. I think two, the game evolved. and players that did what he did started to become like screen and rollers. You stop dumping the ball into a big man. And, you know, he used to get criticized by, like, Charles Barkley and people like that on TV for not being a post-up player. And I think he tried too hard to do that when that wasn't even his game. So I think he got hurt. The game passed him by. Those are two of the three reasons his career fell off. The third is he's obviously has issues in the locker room. Obviously. You know, you don't go – there's the same common denominator every place he's been with it ending poorly. So you have to look at Dwight Howard there. He rubs people the wrong way. So he's a guy whose career will probably be remembered more for that than where he was at his peak, but his peak puts him in the Hall of Fame. Where he's at now, I think it's almost more talk than it is impact, right? Like you could make the argument that the Lakers should avoid this because it's just not worth it, given, you know, his history. And they're clearly aware of his history because they've basically issued an ultimatum, and I don't think he has any guaranteed money in the deal, or it's not a guaranteed deal. As far as what could happen, we're talking about a marginal player here. So anything they get from him would be a value add, and I think that's the way they're probably looking at it, is they need another big body. You know, DeMarcus Cousins went down, so now all they have on the roster are Anthony Davis and JaVale McGee at that spot. Anthony Davis doesn't want to play at that spot night in and night out during the regular season. When it comes money time, when it comes closing time, Anthony Davis is going to be the Lakers center. Make no bones about it. He will be the center. LeBron will be the power forward when they're trying to win games. But there are minutes to be played during the regular season, and they're looking for somebody to have a presence in the paint and rebound. So they're taking a flyer on Dwight Howard. I think if they get anything from him, any productivity from him, it's a plus. The question is there any positive negativity that comes from it? You would hope at this point in his career, he realizes this is his last shot. And it's either going to be do what they want and be productive, or be out of the league. And that's where Dwight Howard is right now.
By the way, only two players in NBA history for their career averaged over 17 points, 12 rebounds, and 2 blocks per game: Elvin Hayes and Dwight Howard.
Yeah, and you know that he's got the Hall of Fame credentials. I would almost group him with Carmelo there, where you're talking about two guys who are going to be the Hall of Fame there, where people might not have the best overall perception of them, but they're going to make the Hall of Fame.
Sticking with the NBA, James Harden knows why he didn't win the MVP award. Harden says media narrative impacted the MVP race versus Giannis. Is it the media's fault that Harden didn't win the MVP?
This is garbage. He's in the MVP race every single year. He won the year before. What is he talking about? His scoring streak was celebrated this year. It was Westbrook or Harden the year before Harden won it. Then it was Harden. Now it was this year it was Giannis or Harden. There was only two names mentioned. I don't understand his beef here. Maybe he feels he's not appreciated to the level, or people spend too much time hating on certain aspects of him rather than appreciating his overall game. The only solution for James Harden is to have an epic playoff run. That's the solution for him. Do it in the playoffs. You'll never hear another word about it. But in the meantime, it's not like some bias against James Harden. It's just Giannis got a few more votes. If the MVP happened after the playoffs, Kawhi Leonard would have got the MVP. If it happened the year before after the playoffs, LeBron would have gotten the MVP. It's a regular season award. It was a two-man race, and probably the fact that Harden won the year before may have hurt him a little bit because, you know, it's a big deal to win two MVPs in a row. So Giannis got it, but it wasn't any negative narrative. It makes him sound like a baby. The Rockets, though, are very good at that. They lead the league in complaining after the fact.
All right, we got to get to the pop culture part of the segment. It was a crazy week, but what do you make of the whole Disney versus Sony, the battle over Spider-Man? As of right now, Spider-Man is out of the MCU.
That ruined my day. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, ruined my day when that news came out. I was bummed about that. I was mad. And I was, like, thinking of how I would break it to my son. That's his favorite, and interacting with all the other heroes. And just like the idea of the soulless greed of corporations where they couldn't work this out. I mean, Disney basically owns everything. What's the point of them being a monopoly if they can't have Spider-Man for Marvel? And Sony was an epic failure in what they tried to do with Spider-Man. That's why they had to go crawling to Marvel.
Well, I wouldn't say epic failure, but clearly it wasn't as good as when Marvel got involved.
Well, they had to go to Marvel because they were losing money on the Spider-Man movies they made. And what was the last one they made, Spider-Man 3? Trash. Oh, no.
The Amazing Spider-Man 2 with Andrew Garfield.
Which was trash. The Amazing Spider-Man, the first one was okay. It was fine. The second one was trash. The third Spider-Man was trash. And so Sony went to Marvel, and Marvel fixed it and rehabilitated the brand. I now think this was all negotiation played out in public. And I think if I had to guess, Disney leaked it first because they wanted Sony to see the reaction to what would happen if this news went out there, and that eventually they'll come back. Now, I hate the fact that they used fans' feelings as their bargaining chip. That's messed up because people feel a real way about this. But if I had to guess, I think maybe even today they will announce an agreement. I think Spider-Man...
Like, you can't have another Avengers movie and not just like forget about Spider-Man.
Iron Man, a huge motivator for his sacrifice. They built the entire thing to Endgame.
A huge motivator was
Spider-Man and Peter Parker.
You handed Spider-Man the keys to his MCU going forward. Now what? In future movies, you're not even going to acknowledge the character?
It's too important for both sides. Sony, you know, they just had the $1 billion with Far From Home. Maybe the Spider-Verse would have pushed them in a certain way, which was excellent, by the way. I'll give them credit for that.
Yeah, well, now the thing is, too, now Sony, they're talking about a Spider-Verse. They bring in Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield.
I don't think they're talking about that. I think some random people on the internet are talking about that. Was that a real report?
No, I think that's legit.
I'll have to look that up after the show, but my money is on a deal being reached. My money's on a deal being reached and Spider-Man being in the MCU. It makes too much sense for all parties involved. Eventually, I think that will win out. I'll be back next Saturday, same time and same place. It's been Robin Lundberg here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.